Bienvenidos a Sonidos y Silencios, un espacio en donde encontrarán conversaciones con artistas para conocer un poco más sobre su vida y su música. Soy Guillermo Ospina, me encuentran en redes sociales como Memo Ospi con doble O y espero que disfruten esta conversación tanto como yo.
Please introduce yourself to recognize your voice in the podcast.
Yes, I'm Nick, I play the bass.
Hi, I'm Neil, I play the guitar and sing.
You are from Reading, England, no? How do you describe this to the people? How
would you describe it? Reading. Reading is an attitude. Reading's just a medium-sized town just outside London. It's like a commuter town. So most people that live there, you know, a lot of them work in London. It's all right, but it's just where we happen to be born, really. Some of it's quite countryside, a little bit rural. And we all met, you know, around the town of Reading, and some of us still live there. I still live around there, Christian still lives around there, but everyone else moved away.
In the first years, how was your first approach to the music?
In the first few years?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we were sort of thrown together very, very young, you know, we were discovered by chance, really. By Alan McGee, who signed us to Creation Records. And we spent like a year or so scrabbling around for a sound, and, you know, we sort of came up with the first EP quite quickly, and realized that that was the sound that we wanted to pursue, and really we've been trying to build on that kind of thing ever since.
And you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, we were kind of all into bands like The Smiths and Dinosaur Jr., Jesus and Mary Chain. The Cure was a big influence for us. Cocteau Twins, My Bloody Valentine, you know. So, you know, we were sort of, you know, I met, you know, Rachel and I were at school together, so we'd known each other for a long time, and we were in a band like from when we were sort of 13, 14 years old. And, but yeah, slowly we sort of figured out our own sound, and as Nick said, we ended up signing to Creation and putting the first EP out when we were like 18 years old on Creation, and yeah.
For someone who doesn't know much about shoegaze, how would you describe it?
How to describe shoegaze? I mean, I think like the common denominator is a bunch of bands who like guitar pedals. They like creating a very big, noisy sound. And it's a kind of immersive experience, you know. The vocals aren't very important, really. They can just sort of kind of sit in the mix somewhere. They're not like up front and central. That's kind of it, really. Yeah.
At the beginning of your career, you had difficulties with the press, no? And how is your relation with the press now?
Well, it's very different, isn't it? I mean, the press is very different.
The press is very different. You know, it's weird when we were kids, you know, because we got very good press when we first came out, and then sort of we just started to get bad reviews. And I think as a band, I think we've definitely had a bit of a reassessment in the last 10 years, and we tend to get slightly better reviews now, which is a relief.
You're saying something more?
I think you know, the music press were quite important to us when we started, because they gave us a platform, and it was for what, a year?
Yeah.
Where we were, you know, everybody's sort of favorite band, and shoegaze was like, it was like a good thing. But then all of a sudden, shoegaze became almost like an insult, and different types of, yeah, different kinds of music, Britpop and, you know, grunge from Seattle in the United States came along, and we sort of became a bit irrelevant in the music press. But I think you don't have that attitude anymore. The media around music is much more factual nowadays, and less driven by emotion, I think, than it maybe was in the 90s.
It was a very small world, music press in the UK, which was what the press we saw. You know, it was like a group of like 20 journalists were basically, you know, deciding what the best records were, and everyone would be like, oh, okay.
You
know? Yeah. So it's sort of different, you know, because now everything's online, you get a world perspective, you know, which is so different, I think.
Everything is Alive, your last album, no? And what can you tell us about it in the album? You present what?
What can we tell you about the record? What can we tell you? It came out in September. It Slow Dive. It's a bit different. You know, the record was sort of started as a bunch of sort of very electronic, minimal sketches, and we sort of built the record up from there, really. So it has a slightly different feel to it than some of our records. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It's it came together over quite a long time.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. And there were many, many different songs and demos that Neil brought. And, you know, they've been sort of whittled down to the eight that are on the record. And, yeah, and I mean, you know, we're really trying hard to bring as many of them, like, to the live show as possible. I mean, tonight, slightly different because it's a very short set opening for a huge band like The Cure. It's not our audience, so it's a different sort of set tonight. But you know, we try and incorporate as many of the new songs as possible into the set. And yeah, it's really nice just playing some new stuff. And
how do you feel about the incorporation for more electronic sounds in the recent years?
Well, I mean, for me, I feel we could have done way more in terms of electronic sounds, but that's kind of where I'm coming from at this point. But, you know, we have sort of delved into that. You know, Pygmalion was very much built from that kind of soundscape as well. You know, a lot of loops and a lot of electronics were involved with that record. But yeah, it was a nice place to start the record, you know, to start it from a slightly different perspective to where we normally would.
This is your first time in Colombia, no?
Yeah.
How do you expect to play here?
I mean, you know, we've had a great run through South America. Every country we've been to has been really great. Fans have been really great. You know, what we've seen of Bogota, we really like. We're finding the altitude a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
But we've been here a couple of days now, so hopefully that's better. But you know, this is a different, like I said a minute ago, this is a different show. This is really like just opening for The Cure. Right? It's not like the shows we've done before. So hopefully there'll be some people here who are, you know, like the band and have heard of us. But you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it'll be good. We're looking forward to it anyway.
And to finish, tell us about your relationship with The Cure, this important band for you. In the beginnings, you toured together, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think The Cure is probably one of the bands that all five of us absolutely love, you know. So it's always been, they've always been a massive touchstone for the band. And I think they are a really important band for a lot of people of our age, you know. Sort of kids that grew up in the 80s that were into alternative music, you know, bands like The Cure and Joy Division and, you know, New Order, I guess. But yeah, they were part of those, you know, they kind of gave us a lot of hope as teenagers, I think, because they kind of always sung about stuff that you could relate to, and the records kind of made sense to a teenage brain, you know, and I still feel that way about them.
Yeah, and they were successful, like, yeah. You know, in the 80s when, you know, a lot of music was quite throwaway, the pop charts were full of, you know, there was some great stuff, but, you know, there was a lot of rubbish as well. And The Cure seemed to just, by doing really just what they wanted to do, you know, no one was telling Robert Smith how to market his new album. He would just do exactly what he wanted to do. And every time he reinvented the band, they were successful, and I think that's quite inspiring for bands like us.
Massively, massively inspiring to see a band just doing it on their own terms, and they always have done, and it's brilliant.
Okay, this is all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias por llegar hasta el final de este episodio. Recuerden que pueden compartir este podcast con amigos y conocidos. Para más información sobre sonidos y silencios, pueden consultar las redes sociales en TikTok, Facebook e Instagram. Soy Guillermo Ospina, me encuentran en redes sociales como Memo Ospi con doble O. En Sonidos y Silencios disfrutamos la música.